This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, because a lot of the Northern Irish root for Manchester because of the Irish connection to Manchester and the city. So, or some are Liverpool fans, but yeah, so they happened to be the one team that was home, and we took Maximum Bob was with me because the Giants were playing the Dolphins that weekend, and we had a ball. We went to this bar called the Butcher's Hook. Back to like the 1840s. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. You feel the history, and you walk down Stamford Bridge, and then Roman Abramovich, he's like a bad guy in a James Bond movie. His motorcade nearly runs us over, and one of the PR people gives us a gift card for the shop. So I'm like, there you go. I'm a Chelsea man. There it is. Done. And then Didier Drogba scored two goals. Lampard scored one. They beat Man City 5-1. I'm like, it's like I've been drinking $3 Chuck, and now you get a great bottle of wine. You know, I mean, that was my soccer epiphany. And I know if you're a football fan, you're going, what the hell is Mark Bale talking about? I mean, everybody comes to their look. It's funny, a real quick correlation, because we're going to get to the Blitz here in a second. I was just talking with a guy. We were talking about Dabo Swinney and comments from 4 years ago that have resurfaced. Thanks to Rex Chapman's Twitter page, which have got people, you know, painting Dabo a certain way. And I said, you know, and I'm not trying to get heavy on it, Will, but I'll just bear with me. You know, I've had like rock solid core beliefs about things when I was, you know, as late as 30 years old that have changed, that are not the same as when I'm 51. And how old are you now, Will? How old are you?
I just turned 33.
Right. I mean, and this is not to be like, oh, the pat yourself on the back, you've evolved. No, but I mean, you grow up and you grow up with stuff. My dad's like, soccer starts with a G and ends with a Y. Okay.
Right.
So that was the old man. Okay. Wasn't watching a lot of soccer. The one time we got tickets for the Cosmos, I think my dad went there just because somebody gave him the tickets.
Pre-Pele?
It was the Pele year with Canalia and Beckenbauer. But again, I didn't know that from a hole in the wall. I mean, here's one of the greatest guys to ever walk the planet. And I don't know what I'm watching. You know, in 94, we went to the World Cup game. It's Ireland played Italy. Again, it was, by soccer standards, it was a 1-0 game. Ireland upsets Italy. All of New York City is upside down, as you could imagine. It was just, just bananas. But it was until I walked into Chelsea, into Stamford Bridge, sat down, had it explained to me what's going on. I'm like, what's with the offsides? Why can't this guy move? And then you see the excellence and you see the quality, you know. And again, the critics will say that MLS is always going to be steps below. Hey, I don't give a crap. I love MLS, but that's how I got hooked on it. So again, I apologize. I just think that you can evolve when it comes to your position on race. Not that you were ever a racist, but you just didn't give a crap. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. You know, I think people now are starting to feel a little more involved and, you know, getting outside of their comfort zone. So that's what I've done, but that's where it comes to soccer. So anyway, that's what the Chelsea thing was. I apologize for the whole diatribe, but now you're on the same page, I hope.
And I know the one thing from people who I've talked to who've gone to matches across the pond, if you are American, you probably stick out like a sore thumb. They're very welcoming, and like you said, that gift card story like you had at Chelsea, that's not very uncommon. If someone does notice you and it's your first time there, they're very welcoming when it comes to that. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's hit an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
The NFL Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. If there has been one guy who has become a must-follow since the pandemic has started, it's this guy Tom Pelissero, who is of the NFL media. He has become the guy to really follow in terms of a lot of the news that's going on. And he was first to report one of the new guidelines to try and combat COVID-19 and social distancing. The NFL is prohibiting any interactions between players during postgame. They want to keep everybody within 6 feet of each other. And they are prohibiting what has become a custom over the course of the last couple of years, the jersey exchange, as you said, Mike, verboten beginning this season, or at least just for this season.
Yeah, I know that that's something. It's funny because, you know, how some fans get, what are they doing exchanging jerseys? They're enemies, mortal enemies. Well, it's not the way. Once the clock kicks down to like 000, right, it's all over. You guys can be boys. But yeah, man. I mean, there's going to be some things and some wrinkles. It's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how this is all going to play out. I just, And again, I hope that I'm wrong about this. I hope that, you know, and again, maybe the only thing which is ever going to be the silver bullet is the vaccine for the stupid COVID-19, right? I think we can all agree. And then everything else is about changing your routine. Everything is about the human element. So, look, I mean, I'm just telling you, all throughout history, you know, when you watch air disasters on the Smithsonian, what's the 99% of the human element? You know, I mean, right. Yeah, the computer screws up a few times, but it's usually the human element. Let's hope these guys can all do the things that they're doing. Do you think the NFL, by virtue of everything else that's coming before, will have a better handle? Because we're just 3 weeks away from some camps opening up.
I know that we've talked a lot about them having the benefit of time, but they have the benefit of waiting to see what works and what doesn't work. I think that's one thing that they can use as a feather in their cap. But the other part of this that I go back to, and it's something you and I talked about earlier, it's that's the sport. That's the one sport where you have the most physical contact. And you wonder about the efficiency of being able to get tests back and forth. Will you use more than one lab? There, of course, are always people talking about whether or not the tests are accurate and false positives, things of that nature. And again, we read the same things you do. I'm not trying to sit here and throw any fear mongering out there or any conspiracy theories. I'm not trying to do that. But what I am saying is there are certain things about the NFL and the way the sport is played that has them maybe cross over some more barriers that other sports haven't really had to deal with as of yet.
So. Yeah, man, I just, you know, I know that we're dying for football. And I was talking to Bo Morgan, our producer, because, you know, a lot of guys, almost every day, we get comments from our listeners and guys that are Falcon fans going, hey, what do you think the Falcons are going to do? And I was talking to Bo. I said, look, I don't want to give, you know, obviously on the radio, you don't want to give misinformation, but still waiting to hear what the word is. I know we're hearing bits and pieces about, okay, well, the Chiefs are going to do this and this team's going to do that. But it's just the fluid nature of the virus. You know what I mean? If we get hot spots, like right now, people from North Carolina, they quarantine going to other parts of the country. That's part of the reason why they're not racing up at Watkins Glen. They moved that race to Daytona. So, I mean, I just think like most teams out there, I think I can't speak for the Falcons, but I assume, Will, they're waiting to see until the other shoe drops where they can maybe formulate a plan that's both feasible. You know, and for, you don't want to tick off your fan base, but I think there's part of the fans like you and me that are going to, I'll be willing to go and wear a mask and do whatever we got to do and jump through the hoops to separate and whatever. And there's other fans who won't want to be willing to do that.
Latest chapter of the Washington football team saga continues. Amazon becomes the latest vendor to pull its Redskins related gear. NFL Shop/Fanatics will keep their gear on. The folks at Amazon joined Nike, Dick's Sporting Goods, Target, and Walmart among those that have stopped selling merchandise for Washington. Of course, we told you yesterday first on Duke's Bell that it looks like, and this is according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, that the name will not have any Native American imagery, but that they will have the burgundy and gold color scheme, excuse me. So that at least it allows for some synergy, Mike, but I don't know if we're going to see the spear like we saw with those old helmets we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, it looked so weird that Spurrier was wearing, when he was coaching the Redskins, that's the year that they do a lot of the throwback uniforms that look just like Florida State for the Gators coach. But yeah, I mean, whether it's going to be the red tails have been mentioned, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen, which I think that would be kind of cool, although it doesn't really connect to Washington, although the Washington with the military and the Pentagon on the other side of the river, maybe. Mm-hmm. Washington Warriors makes sense, but it'll become some kind of grab bag XFL looking design, right? Unless they've already, you think they've had this thing in the hopper for a while, they've just been sitting on it?
So the one thing that I do know is that for a while Daniel Snyder had the Warriors, the Washington Warriors trademark. He had since rescinded that, or at least rescinded the purchase of that. He had kind of always had that in his back pocket in case anything happened in a rash decision. I don't know if that's still the case or if that's maybe the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak. Like I said, though, as somebody who was living in Washington when they changed the name from the Bullets to the Wizards, that was anything but smooth, if you will. That was kind of a laughing stock. The right reasons were made for the change, but as far as the actual name that resulted, it was universally panned. J.J. Watt has cautioned against a rush to meet a set reporting date. This is out of Pro Football Talk as the NFL and the NFLPA continue to try and work things out. Here is J.J. actually speaking earlier about just exactly what he wants to see, and because of the fact that the preseason might not happen, how it might impact some rookies who are trying to make the last cuts on the NFL roster.
When I look at the flip side of that coin, the thing I think about is undrafted free agents. I think about guys who are making the team in that fourth preseason game. I think about guys who made their break through preseason games and literally changed their life because they got that opportunity. So I feel for guys that may miss out on that opportunity to change their life if we miss out on preseason games. But at the same time, you have to weigh the health and safety aspects, whether that's traveling to another city to play a game, whether that's the actual effects of playing the game. So that's kind of what we're weighing right now as players, is you have those guys that you know really, really need those games and thrive on those games. And then you also have the health and safety aspect of everybody in the league that we want to make sure we protect.
I know you and I have our opinions on the viability of the preseason as a spectator sport because of the fact that the fans have to pay the full freight of that, Mike. But I do think that is at least a salient point from JJ as opposed to who needs those games most.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, the CBA, remember, was it, what did I say yesterday, it was 60 votes, right, that it passed?
Yes.
And
yes.
So you was told that the big money guys, the small, even by the NFL standards, the Matt Ryans, the Julios, the J.J. Watts, it was better for them to sign to not sign the CBA. And the guys, you know, the worker bees, they were actually going to get a little more piece of the pie, and it made a little more sense for them. So either way, however this worked out, it passed by a small, you know, small majority of 60 votes out of, what, 2,100 guys. So we'll know pretty soon just what the player reps feel about this escrow account they want to put the money in. I know that the only way the NFL will make any more money is if they find a way to put fans in the seats. I mean, they've milked every single TV and video platform for putting this product out on the airwaves. They have, right?
I would say so. And I
mean,
think
there's
that's
no other way.
It.
Only way they recoup any. Right now, they're looking at $3 billion in losses because of, you know, right, not buying a beer and a hot dogs and the jerseys at the games.
Exactly. Am I allowed to pivot to a breaking news item that is not NFL related? All right. This is something that just came out from Nicole Arabach of The Athletic. She says the Big Ten is expected to announce today that it will go to a conference-only football schedule for this fall. A person with direct knowledge tells The Athletic. So that just came out.
So which conference now is doing that?
The Big Ten. The Big Ten.
Yeah, man. It's going to be strange, man. It's going to be – I just think that's why when I was talking with Mike Conti today about where we're going with this, I know people looked at the Ivy League and a lot of people scoffed, say, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? We're going to talk to Pat Forty coming up, who wrote a very impressive piece that basically said, guys, you're going to have to, you know, temper your expectations with this year, you know, this year of college football. But the Big Ten, so no out-of-conference for the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Games impacted include Ohio State's non-conference tilt with Oregon, Michigan against Washington, Notre Dame facing Wisconsin, and Penn State, Virginia Tech. And there's some talk that that might actually be the norm for the Power 5 conferences moving forward. As we know, Georgia has a big game against Virginia in non-conference that will be played right here in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Again, I hate to interrupt the NFL news, but that coming out, especially with us having Pat on next, I wanted to at least have some opportunity to discuss that. But that's a large domino.
We've talked about, again, the NFL limit, again, it's apples and oranges, but how they're going to, these are grown men. These are student athletes we've talked about. You and I brought it up earlier in the 2 o'clock hour, and there's just a lot of moving parts there. So, again, reports, as Will just said, the Big Ten, no out of conference, which is huge when you think about, you know, the TV implications and the money and all that stuff. Wow.
Now, does that mean they're only going to play 9 games? Because they play a larger conference schedule than the rest. Or they try to expand it to include 12 conference games, or maybe even do a round robin that's similar to what the Big 12 does. That's a big question.
That's the other thing, because, you know, that was something we had talked about. I was talking about this off the air on Twitter or Elizabeth a couple of weeks ago. If we came down to that, if you're going to limit travel. Now, again, think about how big the ACC is. You know, you go all the way up into Boston College in Syracuse.
Right.
You know, and again, Syracuse isn't New York City, so I know. But, you know, it is interesting that's a lot of moving parts there. The SEC's profile, of course, don't have to tell you guys, goes all the way from Gainesville out to Texas. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting. Is that the way we go? I think a lot of SEC fans, at least I have thought, it was always time for the SEC to pick up an extra, you know, in conference game. And then how does the College Football Playoff Committee view that? If some teams only play, it's going to look like the old days where some teams play 10 games and some teams play 9 or 11.
And the thing that's, I think, important to note is that this is a decision on July 9th. So things can change between now and when those games are actually scheduled, too. And it is timely that we have Pat Forty, national college football writer for Sports Illustrated, coming on next. You ask him about this and any plans for other conferences, including the SEC, about exactly how we're going to do football in the college game for 2020. Dukes and Bell continues. Willie P. in for Carl on this very busy Thursday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. News breaking in the world of college football. You just heard Mike Conte say it. The Big Ten Conference will be a conference-only conference when it comes to its football schedule for this upcoming fall. And it's, I guess, apropos and fortunate that we have a chance to talk to one of the best college football writers out there, Pat Forty, now on the WaitForIt.com hotline here on Dukes and Bell. Willie P. in for Carl on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, Pat, beg us your pardon for asking you to react on the fly, but what is your reaction initially to this breaking news?
Has the league officially announced it?
Has not. It's still reported from the Athletic, so not official as of yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I'd like to get a full, reporting from the conference for sure, but I have heard some rumblings of that earlier today. And I think this is the next step in basically the gradual deconstruction of the season. Maybe the pieces get put back together later, maybe conference only works, but I have a feeling this is kind of also kicking the can down the road towards playing in the spring, if we're playing at all.
It's a great article yesterday, guys, with Ross Dellinger and our buddy Pat Forte talking about we're definitely heading the wrong way as virus case spikes hurdles to a college football season mount. And this before we heard the Big Ten news, the Ohio State basically stopping all work on campus. You mentioned the article, what's going on with the Ivy League. So, Pat, again, we're trying to be glass half full, but it just seems like 18 to 20-year-old kids not in a bubble and the vagaries of the virus. Is it just a pipe dream now that we're going to have college football in the fall?
Yeah, I think it is. I think that the June and the first week of July were very bad for college football. I think in late May, early June, people were optimistic and believing that we could get a season in, maybe even a full season, maybe even have fans in the stands. And now that just looks increasingly unlikely, if not outright impossible. So, we're seeing the steps that are being taken and perhaps within 10 days or 2 weeks, I think we're going to see everybody scaling back to some degree as far as what their plans are for college football. And it may, again, I think very well end up that we are trying to play in the spring. And that brings along its own complications, headaches, and difficulties. But I think they will try to play football because everybody wants it and everybody needs it financially. So they'll try. It's just a question of when and how much.
Again, I'm not necessarily asking a question out of fact. I'm just saying as far as the rumblings have been concerned here, because we're wondering, Pat, whether or not a conference-only schedule in these schools will mean only an 8 or 9-game schedule. What are the things you've heard from the various conference commissioners about how they would structure a conference-only season if it does come to that?
Yeah, I think that it would be something where, you start hoping you're going to play what you've usually played, which is 8 or 9. If it's possible to add, because you've got extra weeks in there, yeah, maybe you add another close, regionally proximitous kind of a conference game that wasn't already on the schedule. But I don't think anybody's going to be doing anything in terms of ambition. If you are the Big Ten, I don't think you're going to say, well, let's have Nebraska go to Rutgers or anything like that. It's going to be, can we add any other close matchups or not? And it may end up even being less. I think that the main thing that you're looking at here is buying a little extra time to see where things stand, and then B, limiting the scope of your team's travel. Those are going to be the two kind of, benchmarks of this. And so, is it 8? Is it 9? Is it 10? Is it 7? Is it 6? I think all those things are on the table. And if we go to the spring, I've been told it's pretty likely there is no way that people are doing more than 6 to 8, maybe 9 games.
It is Pat Forty with us, guys. The word coming down today that it started with Ohio State, but now the Big Ten saying it's conference only. Biggest thing first, obviously, is finding a vaccine or trying to find some way for our country to move on from this, because it seems like hot spots are popping up. Pat, do you think, though, just to bring it back to football for purely selfish reasons, the College Football Playoff Committee, we may have teams. Do you think we're going to have some teams that are playing 9 games, some are playing 10? Do you think the SEC would pivot and go conference only, to Will's point?
Yeah, well, I think that it's likely that the SEC pivots to that or to the spring. I think if anybody would be the most open to playing in the spring, it would probably be the SEC, because they've got almost all warm weather locations. And if you start in February, that's not really that big a problem. It's not like trying to start in February in Minneapolis or Madison, Wisconsin. you know, as far as would there be a uniform number? No, I don't think there's going to be. I think it's going to be whatever games you can play and just kind of get in what you can. And just we'll pick up the pieces from there. I mean, anybody who's expecting anything like a uniform season, a quote-unquote fair playoff process, anything like that, it's a joke. I mean, first of all, I still think it's very unlikely that we're going to have a full season, and especially in the fall. But in the process of creating whatever season they can, it is just going to be trial, error, fit what you can, where you can, and see what happens.
From the concerns that have been shared to you, whether it's from conference commissioners and ADs, what is the biggest concern that they're giving you? Is it responsibility of students, testing, expense? Well, what is the biggest concern that they're telling you?
Yeah, the biggest concern is, you know, that people get seriously ill and that, you know, things run through an entire team and then from one team to another or from one campus to another throughout an entire campus and people end up in the hospital, people end up dying. Young people have been relatively resilient to this, but people with a high body mass index, which would include offensive and defensive linemen, have been more susceptible to it. Older people, which could be coaches and support staff, have certainly been susceptible to it. And you can't contain it. You can't promise you can contain it. You can't guarantee to the families of these players that, yes, we can. Your son will be fine. There's no way you can guarantee that. You can give them a pledge to sign or a waiver or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not going to stand up in a court of law. And I think everybody is very concerned. What happens if we put a guy out there, we say, you know, we bring you back to campus, we put you through workouts, and something bad happens related to this disease?
It is our man, Pat Forte. And normally we'd have some fun talking about horse racing or the fish he caught on his Twitter page, but it's all serious stuff today, man. The idea, like, I mean, Pat, UCLA students, this is earlier in the summer, were saying, look, it's a money game. We know that. I mean, Stanford is hemorrhaging money. There's some programs which are going to have to at least just drop a lot of, if not all, athletics. So what about, like, student, I'm not saying a mutiny, but what about, like, your students going, are you sure that you're providing all the safety protocols that are in place? You think we'll see more kids tapping out?
Sure. Oh, yeah, especially if we go to the spring. I mean, I don't think, look, if you are a top-level pro prospect, you are not playing a college spring season. Trevor Lawrence isn't playing. Justin Fields isn't playing. A lot of other guys are not playing because theoretically, you know, the calendar will come close to resetting itself to normal in 2021, and that includes a draft next spring and a season for the NFL in 2021. And that's going to become the focus rather than, well, I'll risk it to play a few games here, you know, in some kind of half-baked season. So you're going to see, you know, whether it's whole teams or not, but you're going to certainly see star players opt out, I think, in a hurry.
I know that you're very close to the Stanford situation with your daughter swimming there, and I was happy to hear that the women's swimming was spared in that in those cuts. But what effect do you think on some of these Olympic sports and even the group of five football teams as far as a conference-only season from the Power Five scenario? How do you think that further affects not only the Olympic sports and the Power Fives, but group of five football?
Yeah, a huge impact. They need, you know, most schools need 12 games just to keep their necks above water. And now, you know, if you're looking at a reduced season and reduced number of home games and, you know, if there are any games, it's going to be bad. That any de-escalation, I guess, of football will result in loss of revenue, and that will result in programs being cut, staff being slashed, wages being slashed, scholarships being reduced, everything. Everything would be on the table if we take a big serious hit in terms of football revenue.
And one of the things that Pat Forte joins from Sports Illustrated pointed out in your article, I think a lot of college football fans feel, well, this school's got a $1 billion endowment. You cannot, it's like a bank you can't keep taking a loan from. They won't do that for athletics.
No. In most places, probably virtually all universities that have endowments have it specifically earmarked for certain purposes. I mean, people give money to endow, you know, a professor's chair in the music school or the engineering department. And some schools, and including Stanford, they endow football coaching positions too, but they don't have a bunch of money sitting there to say, well, in case we get in trouble in terms of the football, the athletic budget, here's a couple million or 12 million to take care of it. That money doesn't exist for those purposes. And so you can't just go and say, yeah, we need that. And especially like if you're Stanford, it's a pretty serious academic institution. So the academic use of that money will absolutely come first, second, and third before athletics even gets a chance at it. So the endowment number is amazing. And it does make you wonder if maybe they should be using more of that money as opposed to just growing it in investments. But
right,
the way these things are written up, it's not accessible.
Pat, I'll take a stab on the way out at something completely unrelated because I know you reacted to it. The Zion Williamson affidavit alleging that he was paid $400,000 by a Canadian marketing company. What does that do to the case against Duke?
Well, like everything else in this legal tussle, there's a lot of other stuff that goes along with this. And I would say that the contents of that affidavit are heavily under dispute. I've been talking to people all afternoon about it. And there's scammers involved all over this thing. So I'm not sure that I would take what Law 360 reported about the affidavit as gospel. I think there could be some real fraudulence to this thing.
Okay, because again, when you got the runners, as we've seen for some of these agents and all these things going on. Okay, so don't get 2 + 2 = 5. Hey, real quick, what do you think of the Belmont? I got like 30 seconds left. I mean, I know this is so weird to have everything backwards, as it were, but do we have a real Triple Crown winner here, you think, this year?
Very good horse. Just a lot. Very good. You know, I still think that there are some other quality horses that could contest him in the, you know, in the Derby and the Preakness, and it's so far away. Right. You don't know who's going to be on top of their form in September and October. So, you know, it was weird being there. It was a very flat event, very eerie, very quiet, and kind of how sports are going to be for a while when we bring them back.
Right.
And how it will translate to the Derby and beyond, no idea.
Great to have you on, Pat. Sorry to make you tap dance there a little bit at the beginning, but hope you and yours still are well and stay safe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's our man, Pat 40. Yeah, from SI. And for those who don't know, Pat, growing up in Louisville, loves the ponies like we do, so it's always kind of fun to pick his brain. All right, Will, we're running late, so Squidbilly, I can hear him right now. Break, go to commercial. We'll come back, man. We got some guy talk to get to. We'll try to find some lighter side. A lot of heavy stuff today. Right now, it's amazing. Our text line is going, stop saying there's no football. No one's saying there's no football, but I thought it was a pipe dream. Now the spring option seems to be popping up. We'll talk about that too, Will. It'll be on the way. College Football Blitz at the top of the hour. It's Dukes and Bell with Willie P right here on radio.com and 92.9 The Game.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man. And it's a Thursday edition of Guy Talk. Real quick before we get to the shenanigans, because we need some shenanigans today. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny how the day started. I was on Twitter, and I just saw the story about Nashville looking like they're going to get tapped out. And again, they're forced out of the tournament down in Orlando. And I was saying that, like, you know, it's just, it's so tough to envision football for all the reasons we just discussed with Pat 40. And if you're just tuning in, you heard Mike Conte in the update there that Ohio State, they had their issues where they had to shut down all the practices for everything that was going on campus because of COVID positive tests. And now the Big Ten is going to go with conference only. It's just such a shock to the system, Will. And it's because during the commercial break, wife Becky walks over and goes, how's the show going? And I was like, Big Ten's going to be playing, you know, just only themselves. And I said, maybe spring and, you know, spring football. She goes, what? Because it's just so, you know, it's counterintuitive to, you know, everything we've expected over the years.
Yeah, it's really a shock to the system. And like you said earlier, we're rooting for it to come back. We want it to come back. And that's why I asked the question to Pat, and he kind of came with the obvious. But I'm wondering if it's the expense, if it's just the sheer danger of the actual kids getting sick, or they just don't feel confident that they can get tests back in the manner that some of these professional teams do. And we talked about this, too, when Morehouse shut their football down for the fall. They said, you know what, a school like ours really can't bear that type of expense for tests, and also they can't quarantine their athletes to the level of a Power 5 school can. So, yeah, it's a lot of different things going on, and there's also a lot of prominent non-conference games that are affected by this, including Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, a lot of others across the country that might be impacted by a conference-only schedule.
Yeah, I know there's been, University of North Carolina. We talked about the ACC. We didn't mention this. We'll save it for, in-depth coming up at the top of the hour with the dog report / college football. But, for what it's worth, there's nothing until September 1st for ACC athletics. But, again, football doesn't really start till the 5th as Labor Day falls later this year. But, again, we'll keep you up. As Carl likes to say, it's unfortunately I won't say it the highway. It's a developing story because it's a story that nobody wants. All right, man. We had some documentaries. Certainly The Last Dance gave us something to watch. I watched that Bruce Lee documentary that HBO. I had no interest in the Lance Armstrong doc. I'm like, that story has been told. But just came out. I saw this over last night, getting ready for the show. HBO formally announces a 2-part Tiger Woods documentary, which is going to air in December. And HBO really does a good job with their docs, as we know. So we'll see what we don't know about Tiger. I read the book that came out a couple of years ago, which is really interesting. And it's just, I mean, he's the reason I picked up golf. I know he's an imperfect human being. We're all imperfect. But, it's fascinating. I'm curious to see how much more in-depth. Because I think anytime you watch a documentary, I don't know about you, Will, I want to learn something I didn't already know.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, that's what I didn't like about the Big Mac Sammy Sosa documentary that ESPN put on in their 30 for 30. I didn't feel like I learned anything. I learned a lot from The Last Dance while living through that entire period. And I hope that the same is to be said for the Tiger documentary.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a nice time capsule to go back to 98, and it's so funny. I mean, the writers, and it's funny because now all the writers are like, we didn't know. But I mean, it's everybody had sort of, I don't know, plausible amnesia, right? If not selective amnesia for everything that was going on. Remember those old Fox promos for the All-Star Games in the early 2000s?
Yes.
They'd have like guys bursting out of their jerseys like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, that's the Nike ad with Tom Glavine and Maddox, chicks dig the long ball.
Chicks and long ball, absolutely.
Still funny. But it's just that. But like I said, you didn't really learn much other than Sammy is, I don't know what Sammy Sosa is doing in his personal life, but it doesn't look right. Hey man, there's another one coming out, a multi-part 30 for 30, and this is going to be on the 86 Mets. Now,
this guy's got some stories now.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel and Cousin Sal are involved as the executive producers on this one. As you guys know, I grew up a Mets fan, and it's just, again, I don't make no bones about it. I'm not going to lie to you. If I grew up in Georgia, I would have grown up a Braves fan. And just like I always try to draw parallels with how bad the Braves were in the 70s and parts of the 80s, just like the Mets were. And eventually the Braves got on top of the mountaintop. You know, I'm not a greedy sports fan. As long as I get one championship for every team that I root for in my lifetime, I'm satisfied. But the 86 year, my most prized possession, I did a podcast today with Southside Steve, who does work on another radio station. And we were talking about what's your prize sports possession. I was showing my game 6 tickets. But that series, I cannot wait because, again, it's the excesses of the 80s, the cocaine use. The stuff that they were doing in the bullpen with groupies. I mean, not that everybody was doing it this bad, but the Mets were at the next level of just awful. I mean, human beings. I mean, there's some great stories like Gary Carter, who's up in heaven now. He was like the one guy that was like the God Squad guy, but everybody else, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, Will, but there was a lot of shenanigans on that squad.
Did you read the Jeff Perlman book on that whole season?
Yeah, he's the one who did the number on Rocker, and I'm not a big fan of Perlman. I think, he's kind of a bottom feeder, but, that one, again, that's a book, right? I learned nothing from that book. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to see. Give me something I don't already know. Yeah, I mean, because anybody who worked or bartended in Manhattan or in Queens where the Mets would hang out, I mean, it was like, what did Michael Jordan say the early years of the Bulls? A rolling cocaine circus?
Yes, that was probably one of the greatest things to come out of that documentary.
Yeah, it wasn't Michael's words, but he agreed with it. I mean, the questioner in the interview asked him that, and Michael kind of said, yeah, it's kind of the way it was. But anyway, the Mets thing, that'll be coming out. It's going to be a 30 for 30 multi-part. I'm trying to get the date on this as my computer is refreshing at a very inopportune moment, and it looks like it's going to be next spring. Right now. Okay, there you go. Sorry for the delay. The little blue circle was mocking me right now. We're supposed to get some high speed internet apparently on Monday.
Interesting. I have
for
high 75 speed
extra bucks. Yeah, for 75 extra bucks a month.
I have high speed internet allegedly in my place, but I don't even use it to connect back to our studios. I have to use my data. So there you go. So tells you how fast it is.
We got first world problems here on Guy Talk. Carl is off today. We got Will filling in today. Willie P, as we said, just doing the show a few blocks down. All right, guys. As you know, I live like a child. I'm a 12-year-old with a driver's license, and I married the perfect woman who shepherds me through the world and helps me with things that I need assistance with. But this is one where even she got the eye opener. I apologize. I've never needed it, so I never had the Costco card. But we were spending so much time out in the country on this last vacation where we were driving up, seeing my friends in Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina. We were up in PA. You know, we were road tripping fools. But one thing for certain, there was a common thread. It was big chunks of slabs of food from Costco. So Becky got her Costco card today, went up to Brookhaven. Oh, my God. She's bringing like a pack of gypsies, bro. She's bringing in pile after pile of food. We've got gigantic racks of ribs. I've got garlic shrimp, like a pound box of M&Ms. I'm stoked. This is going to be a good weekend.
So what are you making for the tailgate at home tomorrow?
I don't know. I mean, she just got, I think, are we doing ribs? Nah, she's got the door shut. She's watching TV. But anyway, I think we're doing ribs. We'll see what she comes up with. But, I mean, this is one of those things. We live in Midtown. And, again, I live in a condo. The problem is you got nowhere to put half this stuff. You know, if you buy, like, the 28-roll toilet paper, where are you going to put it?
Exactly. I'm thinking roast beef for me tomorrow. My dad has perfected this roast beef recipe. I'll steal from him tomorrow. And it's a pretty cool, neat recipe that I'll share with you guys tomorrow. Maybe do a little horseradish sauce on the side as well.
Nice. Because, well, by the way, you know, we talk about Carl, obviously, is a master griller. Mike Conti is just amazing. We've talked about, you know, if we're going to open up Conti's restaurant, it's going to be a blast. I mean, we're going to have so much fun. I'll be the maitre d'. You could be a sous chef with a squid belly. Craig's got the parking concession. Craig, is that cool? And then Carl's going to be working. Carl's running the bar area and the cigar room. We'll have a walk-in humidor. And
I'll sommelier. Just
Yeah, and I'll be the sommelier. I'm going to be the guy with this, you know, I've had a little, you know, the silver thing on the chain and walk around and do nothing. And basically what I kind of do on the show, just kind of stand around and BS. I think maitre d' is about the only thing I'm qualified for. But yeah, so again, I know you guys right now are already texting me going, what, Mike, you never heard of Costco? No, I never needed it. I just, we go, and now I realize it's like, all this.
People don't understand. You live like walking distance from a Publix, so, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is buying in bulk.
I know, you're buying in bulk. I know,
level.
I'm just before you're saying you haven't needed it. I'm just giving people the proximity as far as where you are.
For all the things that I think that I'm aware of in the world, I live a sheltered existence when it comes to Costco. But anyway, there's your guide talk for a Thursday. If you're just getting in the car or you're just getting on home and clicking on the computer, Will and I have been chopping it up. I mean, basically, I wouldn't say bombshells, but huge stories in college football and sports today.
And a college football season is going to look vastly different, at least for one conference, maybe the rest of the Power Five. We'll explain why as we continue throughout the day. It is the Thursday edition of Dukes and Bell. Willie P. And for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And make sure to download the Radio.com app to get us not only on demand, but use the rewind function to get everything you might have missed earlier in the day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.